Today we meditate on our gospel reading, primarily from Luke 3. We'll come to the outline in just a moment's time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together today in your presence. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who is always among us and at work in us. We pray today that that Holy Spirit would come once again to us into our hearts and minds as we hear your word and meditate on it and what it means for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a strange contrast in our readings today between Paul's advice in Philippians 4, which says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all," and John's words in Luke chapter 3, which appear anything but gentle. The brood of vipers, the wrath of God, the axe lying at the foot of the tree. Where is gentleness evident in John? How do we hold these two parts of Scripture and these two themes of Scripture together? Can we take seriously both Paul's advice to be gentle and John's fairly fiery message of repentance? I believe we can. I believe we should. In fact, I believe the balance between those two things is very important for our Christian lives. What we tend to do as Christians and even in Christian theology is to overbalance one way or the other. We tend to be either so gentle and even timid to the point of being kind of anemic in our faith, or we tend to be either too zealous to the point of being aggressive in our faith. And neither one seems quite right, neither seems quite helpful, and neither seems to do justice to what we find in Scripture, including today. How do we strike a balance between those things? Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, "Nothing can be more cruel than the tenderness that consigns another to their sin. And nothing can be more compassionate than the severe rebuke that calls another back from their path of sin." So my question is it possible that John's message of repentance, as severe as it can sound, is in fact an act of compassion for the world, an act of calling the world back to the path of God, and therefore something we desperately need time and time again? Well, let's delve into it today and we'll see. Last week, the focus was the message of repentance. This week, the focus is the fruit of repentance, including these four things: the fruit of humility, the fruit of generosity, the fruit of contentment, and the fruit of expecting the Christ. First, the fruit of humility. Now, those John addresses at the very beginning of today's text are not the really genuine seekers, but the very genuinely self-assured who come to him. We could call them the smug, you know. They're out there not to be baptized, but to have a look at what's going on, probably to look down their noses at those who are being baptized. And so John calls them a brood of vipers, people with venom in their veins. And he accuses them and he questions them and he challenges them and he calls them to repentance. And then he says, "Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" In other words, we're fine, we're okay, we know who we are, we don't need you, we don't need the message of repentance. You see the problem here, that there are those who are repentant, but then on the other hand, there are those who believe they have absolutely no need for repentance. And John addresses the two quite differently. And the first he baptizes and encourages and instructs and works with, and the second he challenges in very strong terms. Now, what his point is, I think, behind this is that there's no place for spiritual smugness and self-assuredness and thinking we have no problems and we're perfectly fine as we are and we don't really need John's message in our lives. There's no place with John for believing that we're somehow better than others because of our heritage or our family or our good upbringing, or for that matter, our work status or our church affiliation or our financial position or anything like that. And I hear John today taking a fair old swipe at anyone and everyone and all of us at times when we put too much emphasis on those things, when we hold too tightly to them. I see the whole ministry of John as telling us to loosen our grip on the things of this world and the things we usually take such pride in, so that we're ready to tighten our grip on Christ and his message when it comes, so that we're ready to be humbled by him and to be humble in his presence. The fruit of humility. The second one is the fruit of generosity. And either those same people or perhaps a different group from the crowd ask quite genuinely, well, what should we do then? And this is a good kind of classic modern question. You know, stop just preaching at me and tell me what I'm supposed to do. What does this repentance look like practically? And John says, okay, you want to get practical? Let's be really specific. Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. Anyone who has food should share with the ones who don't have food. It's this call to generosity. It's this call to charity. It's this call to Christian giving. It's a call to gift trees, and it's a call to Christmas appeals, and it's a call to being generous at every time of year, but especially this time of year. And the opportunities are almost endless for this kind of thing. But it requires a shift in our spirit, a change in our regular disposition from taking and hoarding and building and growing for ourselves to looking and anticipating and identifying the needs of those around us. And so it's a shift from the inward to the outward, and to recognize the need that exists and to start to work to meet that need that is all around us every day of the year. Now, at that point, John gets even more specific, because the tax collectors start asking, what about us? And the soldiers start asking, what about us? And so he says, okay, don't take more than you're supposed to. Stop accusing people falsely. I think what John is saying to us is that within every station and vocation in life, there are particular temptations. And the tax collectors, who are always working with people's money, have the temptation of, you know, misappropriating funds, which is a very nice way to describe stealing, but that's what we call it, right? And the soldiers, in their role, they have a particular way that they're tempted as well. And you may not be a tax collector and you may not be a soldier, but you have stations and vocations in life, and within each one there are temptations, particular temptations. So you think of, you know, someone working in the IT area and with technology all the time, there are temptations. I would say fairly obvious temptations in the misuse of technology. Or you think of someone who works in aged care, caring for the elderly. We hear reports all the time of, you know, the neglect of the elderly, the abuse of the elderly. Those are particular temptations in that field. And I think John is saying, everywhere you are, everywhere you work, in your family, in your church, in your community, in your workplace, there are specific temptations. And being aware of them is a critical first step to resisting them. The flip side then must also be true. Every station and vocation must have opportunities to honor God and to honor other people simply by being there and by doing the tasks we've been called to do. And if you think of those examples, you know, the person working in IT has the opportunity to help others who need help in that area. Or the person caring for the elderly has the opportunity to honor the elderly simply by doing their job. And so within every station and every vocation, there are also wonderful opportunities to honor God simply by being there and by doing what we've been called to do. And I think John's trying to get us thinking about this today, that all of that, when we do it with gentleness and humility and generosity, does great honor to God and to our fellow human beings. And it is the fruit of repentance. Thirdly, the fruit of contentment. This is another good one for us in our day and age, I think. John says to the soldiers, don't extort money, don't accuse people falsely, Do be content with your pay. Be content with your pay. We read in 1 Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. And John seems to be connecting these points. Humility, generosity, contentment. I remember reading a study once that was done in the US, but it could have easily been done here, I'm sure, that asked people, how much do you think you need? I think it was primarily money. How much money do you think you need to be content, to be satisfied in life? And the overwhelming response, regardless of the person, regardless of their field of employment, regardless of how much money they actually made, was just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Now, I know there are people who are genuinely overworked and underpaid, and that's a very real issue, but I hear John addressing this human spirit today that always says just a little bit more. Just a bit more money in the pay packet, just a bit more savings in the savings account, just a bit bigger house, just a bit better relationships, a bit better health. You know, if I had just a bit more, then I could be content. I'm so glad the soldiers were there that day to hear this message from John, because I think it's a message for all of us. We can pray for those things, we can ask for those things, but while we're doing that, we should also remember to pray, Lord, make me content. Lord, help me to be satisfied today. Give me joy with who I am and what I have this very day. Because I've always had this theory that if you can't be content today, then you probably won't be tomorrow. That the little bit more that you think you need to be content is not going to fill that hole. That God's gift of contentment is a gift in every situation. But that takes prayer, and it takes repentance, and it takes humility and generosity as well. The final gift today, the final fruit of repentance, is the fruit of expecting Christ. And this is John's big point. And this is where he's trying to take the whole crowd, or at least all those who will come along with him on the journey, when he says, the people were waiting expectantly and wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. But John answered them and said, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now it's a powerful confession of faith. And right within the middle of it, a powerful act of humility, which is fascinating. Because this is John the Baptist, perhaps one of the boldest messengers through the whole of Scripture. And right in the middle of, you know, his high point, in a sense, he says, by the way, I'm not him, it's not me, I'm not even close, I'm not even worthy, I'm nothing compared to the one who's about to come. The fruit of repentance is this genuine expectation and confession and readiness for the coming of Christ. And John not only preaches it, he lives it. And he shows us how it works. And John comes to humble us so that Christ can exalt us. And John comes to accuse us so that Christ can forgive us. And John comes to baptize with water so that Christ can come and baptize us with the Holy Spirit. And what the law demands, the gospel provides. And that's the beauty of John and Jesus working together. Jesus is in no way opposed to the ministry of John. They're complementary, they're colleagues, they go together. And John prepares us for the coming Christ, who ultimately follows after and fulfills the ministry that John began by offering us the undeserved favor and grace of God in our lives. And we can't find that anywhere else. And we can't discover it anywhere like we can discover it in Christ. Where every sin committed and every temptation given into and every task incomplete finds its forgiveness and its fulfillment and its completion in Him. Repentance and gentleness do hold together. They hold together in Christ. As we're called back from our own paths and our own ways, back into the ways and the paths of our gentle Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May His peace Guard your hearts and minds this day and every day. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, make us humble. Make us generous. Make us content. And help us to look ready, to look forward to be ready for the coming of your Son when he comes in glory. Help make us ready to celebrate his coming as an infant in Bethlehem as we prepare for Christmas. Help make us ready to be poured out for those around us, to give and not count the cost, to be generous to them, generous in spirit as well as in deed. Make us gentle. Make us more and more like your Son. Guide us in all our ways and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.